Hello, Saints. Bethel's new website enables you to receive pastors' e-devotionals via email. Simply go to betheldeliverance.org and click on the link About Us. Then, subscribe to weekly devotionals from Bishop, and you'll be all set to receive the encouraging word of God for Bishop's e-devotionals. So be blessed and sign up today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I am a 14th century man. I am a Victorian man lost in contemporary times. I don't like this generation. It pulls me away from everything I know to be normal, true, and wholesome. I like femininity in a woman. I like for her to be feminine. I do not like arrogant, strong, tell them off, snap your finger, roll your eyes, flip your head back women. If I were a single man, you would turn me off. I like delicate women who tuck napkins and handkerchiefs in their sleeve, who let me put their luggage up in the overhead rack. Now, I can do it myself. I like that time because women didn't mind being protected. They didn't say, I don't need no man to protect me. I'll cut you myself. No, they didn't need. I like that time because men were men. They were leaders. They courted that woman. They liked taking care of the woman. And she liked being cared for. She lived to be at home. I like that time. During that time, England was going through transition. They were without a king. Arthur Pendragon was an illegitimate son of the previous king. He was born of a woman that the king was not married to, but he still had the blood of the king. Therefore, he was in line to be the next king. The tradition says that there was a sword magically deposited in an anvil. The name of the sword was Excalibur. And it was in an anvil. When the anvil had been forged, the sword was deposited while the metal was still pliable. The tradition says that he who would be king should be able to extract the sword, Excalibur, from the anvil, thereby guaranteeing their right to be king. There was a series of stones called the Ring of Stones in Scotland. We see that ring today. And at the Ring of Stones, many people wanted to be king of England, but none of them could extract the sword. It is said that Arthur came and extracted the sword, lifted it, and said, I am king of England. But a man named Merlin, who was a presidential advisor with witchcraft powers, he was a male witch. He told Arthur, just because you pulled the sword doesn't mean you're ready to be king. He said, the sword just proves that you have the genes to be king. But now you must perform actions to validate you being king. You see, once you get born again, God puts the genes in you to accomplish great things. But don't rest on the gifts and the genes. Now go do something. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Speak words of power and purpose. Don't let people pull you down to Joppa and give up on what God has placed in you. You are the righteousness of God. You are the blessed of God. You are positioned for greatness. It is in you to be great, Jonah. You pulled the sword out by coming to the Lord. That act says to God, I want you. Now do something with it. Stop living in poverty. Get off that bed of victimization. Stop settling for C's. And reach for 4.0. Stop saying that you can't do it. Stop saying that this sickness is in your family. Cut it off right now. You don't have to be on welfare for the rest of your life and brag about it. No. Go from being a borrower to a lender. Jonah. Jonah makes a mistake. The text says that he goes to Joppa to buy a ticket to get on a boat to go to Tarshish. When we read that, because of our way of reading, we have a tendency of forming our own impressions. But God tries to eliminate that from our theological dissertation. Tells you why he did it. This text speaks loudly to an impossibility. Like Jonah, I found this out, and many of you will as well. It does not say that Jonah was going to Tarshish to avoid his calling. Doesn't say that Jonah was going to Tarshish just to be a bad boy. Doesn't say he was going to Tarshish to make new friends. And say he was going there to start a new life. Says he was going there to escape the presence of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I call this to your attention. Somewhere in his young Jewish life, somebody forgot to tell him about the omnipresence of God. Just like somebody forgot to tell you. Did you ever stop to think that many of the things that you do, you are ignorant of the fact that he's right there watching you do them? Did you ever stop to think that he never leaves you, that that passage has nothing to do with just being blessed all the time, but he's also with you in Vegas? God is with you when you say, hit me on the hard 12. He's standing right there when you roll the dice and say, oh, come on, 7. The presence of God is not just reminding us of his blessing, but just his presence. Now, I need to underscore something for you because, see, many of the Armenian concept causes us to imagine that the presence of God is only there for judgment, but I beg to differ with you. The presence of God is there to remind you of his grace. Hear me. Because in Romans chapter 1, it says people can go so far that God removes his presence. When God removes his presence, it's called apostasy. But when he leaves his presence, it's called grace and mercy. So if he's there with you while you're doing what you're doing, what he's saying is you still have a chance. That your situation has not exhausted his presence. That he is right there with you, and though you are going through something completely difficult and alien to the spirit, he is still there with you. Only God can give you hope during the deepest moments of your despair. That if you learn that he's standing right there with his arms around you, that his presence has nothing to do with you. If God were to withdraw his presence based on us, he would have been gone long time ago. We lie and backbite and gossip and complain and murmur, but he just gets closer because where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. My brothers and sisters, I want to send you out of here this afternoon with hope. Hope in knowing that if God called you to accomplish something, you will accomplish it. You may be bloody, but you're going to accomplish it. You may have some bandages, but you're going to have a testimony that your failure is not a representation of God abandoning you. For people who fail just make better witnesses. The euphoria of the first child is replaced by the reality of the second child. So by the time you get to the third child, you don't pay any attention to him. I would hazard a guess that when my sister fell down the steps, my mother ran to the steps to inquire as to how she was, to make sure she had broken no bones, to make sure that her life was well and she could continue in her evolutionary process of growing up. I would imagine that she may not have run to the steps when my brother fell down, but she may have called out to him and said, "Gary, are you all right?" But then by the time I came along and fell down the steps, she stayed in the kitchen. She never came out to find out if I was okay or not. I asked her one day with great curiosity. I said, "Mama, I remember the time when I fell down the steps on Susquehanna Avenue. There were 22 steps between the first and the second floor, and I fell over everyone. I hit everyone on the way down. When I got to the bottom, I lay there. There was no Holy Spirit-filled people to lay hands on me and raise me from the dead like Lazarus. I was in a tomb, and I was defeated, and I had no hope nor help." And Mama was in the kitchen. And I asked her some years later, I said, "Mama, why didn't you run out and why didn't you come see about me?" She said, "Boy, by the time you came along, I understood certain levels of crying. And you weren't crying to let me know you needed my help." Well, God is saying the same thing. When you were a new Christian, every prayer, he was right there. Every time you said Jesus, he was right there. But the more you hear the word of God, the more the Bible becomes alive to you, God lets you go through. And when you cry out, he doesn't respond right away because he knows you're only crying out of frustration. He says, "If I teach them how to wait, if they wait, they get stronger. If I respond to every cry, they'll be spoiled and not learn how to lean on their faith."
If you believe, for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3117P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.